Pretty soon I'm gonna be famous, a little more famous than you. Why, yes, I'm gonna be famous, and you can be famous too.
And we're on.
I'm good. How are you, Ben?
I'm good.
Do you have anything you'd like to tell the rest of the class?
You want to go right in? No bullshit.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's good.
You want to talk about like jukebox that goes to emails? What do you want to like?
What if we're gonna do like small talk and then like lay it up?
Okay.
No, here's the deal. I haven't told you guys this yet. But,
okay.
But we have. But we had a baby.
What?
What?
I know. We had a little baby.
Who?
On January 10th. His name is Leo.
Shut the fuck up.
No way.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't tell you all because I didn't want you to know. But now we're doing a podcast and you should know.
Wow. So you made this with another person.
Yeah. So I guess actually it was a post tour baby.
Wow.
Came back from tour.
Yeah, because I knew it wasn't one of us. Like, it wasn't Jesse or I who made it with you. It had to be somebody else.
Yeah. No, Kelly really did convince me that it was after tour, not while I was on tour.
There was that one-off.
What?
Acoustic show.
Go on.
Shortly after tour. About a week after tour, we played a show.
Yeah?
I'm just saying.
Where Jesse's suggesting that it could have been him who had your baby.
I was going to say, Jesse, where do babies come from? Do they come from acoustic shows? yeah, this is my first public appearance since becoming a father. Sort of. That may not be true either.
Well, we've at Jukebox headquarters, Jesse and I have been trying to give Ben as much parental leave as we can and be as least annoying as possible, but this is a very exciting development.
It's so funny. You all have been so like space giving. I'm like, oh, I really haven't talked to these guys in a while. I haven't talked to you all.
It's nice.
It's nice. I should have babies more often. Yeah, it's people are like, can you, like for me and Kelly, they're like, can you take, like, do you get plenty of like parental leave? And we're like, yeah, we can take as much as we want and make no money. It's fine. Like independent contractor, business owner, the business of Jukebox it goes. No, we got a little healthy, happy little baby dude named Leo. And he doesn't really have that many tricks yet. He's turned 6 weeks as of today, as of taping. Sometimes he pees a lot, he poos a lot. He's getting more vocal, he has more complaints now, but still within reason.
Well, you were just telling us the exciting news that he peed on you, which is great news.
He did. It was a 3 a.m. shift and I was doing the diaper and I got so excited and I came in running in saying, Kelly, he sunk my battleship. Yeah, I even had, you know, they sell pee-pee tents. Did you know this?
Yeah.
They sell little tents. Jesse knows it because he still uses them. But you put, when you're laying on your back naked and you're a baby.
I think it's called a teepee.
I think it's just a tent, but you camping.
It's a teepee.
It's just a tent. I call it a tent.
A teepee-peepee? A peepee-teepee?
A peepee-teepee.
Things we've learned. Don't go camping with Jesse. He pees in the tent. And we don't have those pee-pee tents, but we do, put a little cloth over it because he gets excited and starts peeing everywhere. And he just wiggled right past that tent and hit me. Got me right on the belly.
What about your baby? What about Leo? I thought you were still talking about me when we camp.
Jesse, I wasn't going to bring up. All right, so it was Jesse's bachelor party, and we're up in the Maine, and no one could go to sleep because Jesse would just show up and start peeing on you. It was awful.
We can edit that out.
Yeah, why bother?
That's not my best.
Yeah, I haven't peed on anyone in a long time.
Are you sure?
No.
Anyway, my baby has. But he's a good little dude. He's cute. He's a real cute dude.
I can't wait to meet the guy. He seems pretty cool.
Yeah, when did you get to meet Jesse? Met him.
Yep, I can confirm.
Tommy, you don't know this. Jesse, I was like, Jesse held him and he was great. And then I went to change his diaper. And this is before he was, you know, sinking people's battleships. And I was like, Jesse, you want to come help? And he goes, yeah, sure. And so he comes up and he's standing 6 feet back from the changing table. And I'm like, you can come closer. And he goes, we're going out to dinner after this. And I was like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, he was like maybe 8 or 9 days old at this point. Like, nothing is happening. He is an absolute potato.
That's awesome.
I don't know what the range is for elimination.
I wasn't going to let you get peed on before a first date, before a big date.
All right.
Maybe he was just letting you know he was hungry. He was about to go out to eat. He didn't want to accidentally eat your potato, you know?
Yeah. Right. That's right. I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't thought of Jesse being a liability from an eating my baby standpoint.
When I get hangry, when a baby comes my way.
Mm. Baby back, baby back, baby back ribs.
That's really nice.
That's a little Austin Powers 2, The Spy Who Shagged Me joke. For all you Austin Powers 2, The Spy Who Shagged Me heads out there.
It's a great album.
Jesse's holding up his dog, baby, potato.
This is a dog.
Kelly, our niece, when we started showing her pictures of Leo, immediately got like uncomfortable and started showing us pictures of her cat and like then talked about her cat for a long time.
Like, I have something too.
Yeah, no, she was like, I have one too. And she's 9, and I realized Jesse's doing the exact same thing right now.
I have one too.
Jesse's holding a dog. That's a cute pup. I miss me a cedar. What's that?
This is a plush toy of a goose with a giant ass that a fan, Morgan, made and gave to me at the Bowery shows. Amazing.
This is your life now. That's really nice.
Well,
This is a...
Yeah, is there anything else to... Do we need to just jump into the questions or do we need to talk about anything? We got these shows coming up, if you don't know.
Yeah.
I assume this will be out before the shows, hopefully. But we've got...
It better be.
3 residency shows in DC that as of this moment are very close to sold out. I'm sure will be by the time we put this out.
I think 1 or 2 are sold out.
Yep. And then we've also got a 3-night run in Chicago and a 3-night run in Boston. And we're very excited about this.
Yeah. Those will be my first shows post-baby. Oh, actually, that's not true. They'll be my almost first show. We're doing a little... Will this be announced by then? We're doing a little ferret show at the end of next month.
Hmm. Like for a live audience?
A little New York, just like having other live audience. Yeah. The playwright, Matt, has
where?
Like a couple weeks of a theater. A little place called Here, H-E-R-E. Okay. I think it's by Union Square in the city. It's a little 115, 120 seater. We're just going to test out playing some, having other people sing the songs in front of an audience for the first time.
Which one am I doing?
You want to sing? You want to do Broadway songs?
No, I don't want to sing, but I could use the cash.
You think Broadway singers get cash?
I don't know if Broadway...
For playing an off-Broadway 8:30 p.m. weeknight show?
Whenever I've done it, I got paid.
Yeah. You're union. We're not doing union. We're off union.
We're on union.
But our shows will be my first time away from Le Bébé, which will be fun.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, Jess, you can pee on me at 3 a.m. because it'll help me feel more, like, connected.
Great.
Aw.
Yeah.
Okay, let's open some
mail. I want to thank you all for asking such stupid questions, but I got low standards, so here's your stupid answers. Let's open the mail.
Am I doing the mail? Am I playing the mail?
There's I think you have to.
We don't have a choice here.
The voice?
I don't think we do. I don't have my audio set up currently to be able to do that. I need to buy a new...
Understood.
I want to talk to you about that. You can advise me on how to do this. I get very confused.
Do you want to do that now as part of the... Do you want to do it as part of the podcast?
A tech help discussion where you...
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the one you use again? What is that program that you use?
My one what?
The program you use to route your audio.
Oh, Loopback.
Loopback. Okay. I'm just going to download that.
It's a delight.
It works for you. It'll work for me.
It's the greatest.
Okay.
All right. Well, look, I don't know what these are. I don't know what they are. And I haven't listened to them. We haven't listened to them. I guess I'll just go in order of however I play them. That'll be the order we go. I don't know the length, but I do know the kilobytes. So, Jesse, pick a number between 1 and 155.
Oh, my God.
We're doing it by kilobyte.
We're doing it by kilobyte.
Okay.
Two.
That's going to be a short one.
Okay, let's try again. A number between 11, 11 and 155.
12.
Okay, let's 11 then. That's the closest. Here we go. The shortest question yet.
If you were a sea creature, what kind of sea creature would you be?
Man, right to the point. No, hey, love you guys. Big fan of the pod. Just what kind of sea creature are you? And you're out. Thank you, anonymous caller.
I think this got cut off because there was also a voicemail that asked specifically Ben, what sea creature would you be? And Tommy, what sea creature would you be? So I think this one is for Jesse, to be honest with you.
Oh. Well, all right, let's start with Jesse.
I'd be a I think I'd be a seahorse.
Really going right there.
Oh man.
I think I'm gonna go back on paternity leave for just a little bit, if that's right with you guys.
Yeah, same.
So Jesse's a seahorse. I thought you were gonna say hog.
Have we ever? Is this character like public? Has this character ever been made public?
No.
This is Tommy's character.
I've talked about this. That's why I love this. This is a bit I used to have a bit where I would do a bit of where I was like a cowboy redneck guy who doesn't know what a horse is and is trying to figure it out by context clues, you know, by being like, I think I know what a horse is, but I want to see if you know, so why don't you tell me how you might describe a horse? Anyways, that was the bit. It's not a great, it's not one of the great bits.
No.
I think it's a strong bit.
Yeah, and sometimes this guy would, well, Tommy, like, to make me giggle in the van.
But everyone knows that Jesse laughs so hard at a bit that he confuses me and Tommy as to what's actually funny.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm still laughing at Fraser.
Yeah, I've made Jesse laugh at things that then I had was overly bullishly confident about doing to other people and that they would laugh, and it was not true.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry, we need to do another voicemail. This is from What Sea Creature Is Jesse?
Oh.
Huh?
And the answer was seahorse.
Is a seahorse. All right, Tommy, a number between 12 and 155.
121.
Ooh, that gets us closest to this.
Hey, Jukebox. This is Greg Alexandropoulos. This question may come across as more serious, but I'm very curious. Listen, I'm not trying to start any jukebox wars here, but here it goes. Does the band not enjoy safe travels? I've been to more than one jukebox concert where zero songs from Safe Travels are played. I know you guys have a ton of material and you can't play everything, but I'm surprised when you guys play zero songs from it. Do fans not like it? Like, was it not critically well received? You tell me if I'm drawing conclusions inaccurately, but in my view, it's your most radio-friendly and succinct record. Thanks for taking the question. I'm very curious. Thanks.
It's a good question.
It's a good question. We've talked about this a number of times, and it's a multifaceted, I think. One, streaming really drives the conversation a lot of times these days, and I don't know why, but I've been waiting for a song from Safe Travels to pop off on streaming, but it hasn't happened yet. And so it's actually one of our lesser, I might be misremembering, but I think it's one of our lesser played albums, just in terms of streaming online. I agree that it's kind of our most succinct and radio friendly. I think we all like Safe Travels. The other thing is we played those songs a lot. And so I think we forget that a whole generation of fans hasn't really heard those songs live, because we played the crap out of like most of that record for years and years being road dogs. So
yeah, we did. That is a big part of it. Those are our heavy, heavy, heavy touring years. It's interesting. We're doing, you know, doing these three albums, three nights things. And the Safe Travels night had really incredible energy in a way that I think made us, I don't know, made me like re-fall in love with a lot of those songs in a live context.
It also had strings, which was cool for you, Ben, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just going to say, speaking of like the Bowery, the playing it in its entirety, to the question, I mean, to the point, to this point, like, we don't play it that much. And for that reason, it felt the oldest, you know? It felt like those songs, like, it had been a lifetime or something. It had been, you know, a decade since.
Oh, yeah. There were some of those songs that we hadn't played in so long that it actually felt like playing for the first time. I mean, like, when we played, like, Devil's All for Love and Dead, I was like...
Dead?
Or, like... What else? It was like Ghosts and Empty Houses. I was like, we haven't played these songs in so... It feels like learning them for the first time. I didn't even have the muscle memory.
There's also a thing that happens where when we were grinding at that time, we were trying so hard to make fans, and a song like Dead at that time didn't like work in a live setting. Like the shows we were playing, the energy we were putting out was too like spazzy, crazy, play all the super up tempo stuff. And when we played Dead at the Bowery show, and as we'll do it, it has an energy to it and like a weight to it that I think we can give it now that for whatever reason, like we weren't able to give at that time. It just feels very different. It's like almost cool.
Yeah. We didn't have an audience giving us the benefit of the doubt yet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I bet after these shows, more of these songs will show up in rotation, but it's also really hard to, we have too many albums and put it all together, but we can do a better job of goosing those set lists.
I mean, we're you know, about to put out, I feel like we're on different stages of an album 7 and an album 8.
Yep.
And yeah, you get in a 90-minute show, it's just hard to cover all the ground you want to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think we were inspired that like, oh, people know, like our fans know these songs. So I think there's always a suspicion we have that like people are just showing up who are maybe more casual fans on streaming and they, you know, might not know some of this stuff, but I think that's, yeah. I think that's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It seems like somebody was, you know, if you caught us a jukebox show around 2013, 14, I don't think we played a single show without playing Somebody, the song Somebody.
I don't think we did. I think we played it every single show from like 2013 to 2020.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So we got a little tired of that. Adulthood, for whatever reason, feels sustainable to like, I never get sick of it, but also it feels like we could play it with any set list.
At Last is my baby. I want that back.
We try to have really high energy shows, and that album has a lot of mid-tempo songs, which that's on us just being comfortable playing it. But I think that's also part of it, trying to keep the energy high. Good question, though.
Ben, why don't you say a number of kilobytes?
I'm closing my eyes.
Yeah, you don't want to cheat.
Hey, Jukebox, this is Mark. Few questions, rapid style, I'd like each of you to answer. One, have you ever? If yes, when? Why'd you do it? Was it weird? And have you done it since? Thanks. Bye.
Yes. 3 days ago. Wish I hadn't. Feel weird about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on. Move on to.
It's good.
Do y'all wanna? You wanna do one?
No, I think my answer would be this? Pretty close to yours. So I think.
Oh.
Yeah. I would say yes. I would say yes. I would say yellow. I would say 47, and I would say. Absolutely not.
Mm.
Those would be my answers.
How about you, Jess? Let's round this off with a good.
I got a good one. No.
Okay. For all four?
I have not.
Okay.
No, I have not.
Okay. And you would never.
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. All right. Let's try. All right, Jesse, number.
55.
This one.
Hey, guys. My name's Dan. I'm out in California. I've been following you since I was in college almost 10 years ago now. And I actually had a question about your album name choices, specifically your self-titled, because that one just sounds so different than anything that came before or after it, and I'm wondering what the decision process was to make that your self-titled. Thanks. Bye.
Great question.
I have like a candid answer. Can I take this?
Take it, baby.
Nope.
Cool.
I think he asked that yes, Tommy.
I'm asking Tommy, can I take this?
He's just asking me.
Yeah, go on.
So... I often wonder, like, when you look at a discography of artists, the self-titled record is sometimes just thrown in there randomly. Like, you know, it's just like, whatever, it's album 5. I don't know. It's just, and my candid answer is that I don't think we came up with a better title for it. Like, we didn't have a working title. And then at the end of the day, we just never came up with the right title. I suspect that a lot of artists are like that. Now, the answer we gave in interviews and stuff is, you know, this feels definitive. I'm not going to say that, like, wasn't a real feeling at the time, but I don't know. Is that too revealing?
I just don't think that's entirely true. I mean, if we had had another album title that was in the running, maybe we'd have picked it, but we talked about wanting to do a self-titled And the effort of that record did feel like we were saying, we went through those producers. This feels like us. This feels like us, you know,
fair,
deciding who we were.
Yeah. I think we're both right. Now, maybe I'm wrong here, but with the other records, like I could go down the line and usually a title materializes. So I don't know. That's just this one, from my vantage point, there wasn't one that materialized. Yet at the same time, it did feel like, why not name it after the band and put the logo, you know, it was the first, it had like the logo big.
I was just having a conversation with a friend who, he has an amazing album title lined up for his next record. And at the last minute, he's like, I think I'm going to make it self-titled. And I was like, that's a mistake. I think it's album 7. And because I love the other album title, but he was like, this feels like me. It feels like the best representation of the art I'm trying to make. And I feel like that is usually, for a self-titled, the thing that happens. It's like, this feels like what I want to make and what we all want to make.
Right.
I'm not saying it's not sometimes a cop-out, but I think that's usually what an artist's self-titled album means.
It's interesting. It's kind of short-sighted, right?
Yeah.
It's because you're always doing that, but sometimes you think like, oh, now I'm really doing it. But like in hindsight, that's never true. You're always changing, you know?
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, like Beyonce is going to, you know, her record is going to become a country record. It would be kind of, you know, I don't know if Beyonce is going to be like, let's call this one Beyonce, you know? Bad example, but sometimes you make a record and you know it's a detour, right? But at any rate, like there are records, like our next record, we've had the album title for a while and it came early. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Safe Travels and Off to the Races. So I don't know.
Well, I don't think this is a bad thing, but at the time we were pretty hungry for a new audience and for kind of to reshuffle the deck, you know, and just like really swing for the fences. And so I think we were kind of looking for like,
yeah,
we liked the idea of like a sort of stylistic reset as well, probably at that time. You know, like for example, you know, when there's a bunch of sequels of a movie and then they do like kind of a reboot and like it doesn't acknowledge the previous sequels or something. I feel like we're almost doing that.
Yeah. When all of a sudden, like after 5 Spider-Mans, you just get Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, or I mean like Chucky, that movie franchise has like one where they're just like, okay, we're resetting, you know?
Yeah.
We're Chucky again.
Yeah. So I don't regret it, but it is kind of funny. It is funny to me in hindsight.
Are you saying we could have our next album be self-titled?
I'm saying you could do it again.
Yeah. Has any band ever had 2 self-titled albums years apart?
That's interesting. Let's be the first.
What did you call it? Jukebox That Goes 2?
Well, it would automatically call it that way if you downloaded it, because if you already had the other one on your computer, it would do like a dash and then a 2.
Right, right.
Same file name.
That's right. With the same song titles. Different songs.
Yeah.
All right. Pick a number, Tommy.
78.
Ooh, it's close. We got a 75.
Hey, this question is for Jeppy. I would love to know, what is your favorite wood to, number one, work with in the shop? Number two, what is your favorite wood in terms of scent and texture? I really would like to know this. I am extremely partial to cedar. There's something about a cedar closet that's been professionally done that is just so beautiful. It smells so freaking good.
Sure does.
So, let me know. Bye.
I thought I could have sworn they were going to say, what's your favorite type of wood to eat? So actually, I would like you to follow that up. So that's the second answer.
I'm impressed you guys are awake. Great, great question.
Mm-hmm.
Cedar is, she asked about scent, cedar, hands down. Although I was cutting up so much cedar at my last wood shop job that I actually did get very sick of it. But then I came back. So cedar wins for scent, for sure. And then cherry. I was actually putting tung oil on cherry today, and I was going, this is, it's the most beautiful.
Wait, did you say tung oil?
Yeah, tung oil. T-U-N-G.
Oh, okay. I thought like T-O-N-G-U-E.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, it's made from the tongues of children.
If anyone is still listening to this podcast, it is a fucking miracle.
Oh, shit. Yeah, cherry is my favorite.
No, no.
Grain. And then texture, it's all fucking, it's all wood. Texture.
Jeez Louise.
What's, Ben, you got one?
A barn's a barn.
What do you mean I got one? Do I have a favorite wood?
More barn. Do you know that Neil Young, more barn?
I got a favorite. I would rather you not talk about this.
All right.
How about that wood?
I'm not even going to talk about what I am about to bring up, but there is a Neil Young story involving a barn, and I'm going to save it. All right?
Why? What are you waiting for?
Yeah, what are you waiting for?
All right, fine.
Tell us a story about Neil Young in the barn.
This is great. There are the people. No one's listening. This, literally, no one's listening right now. This is just us. So tell us the story.
So I think Graham Nash, I don't know if this is his story or I just heard him say it recently. I don't remember. Whatever. Neil Young on his land has a barn and then has a big pond in front of it. Or maybe this was like 30 years ago. I don't know. But this is what he had. And his friend came over and he was like, hey, you want to hear my new record? He's like, yeah, let's listen to the new record. I just got like the new masters. All right, great. We're going out on the boat. His friend's like, what? So they go out on the boat and they're in the middle of the barn. They're in the middle of the pond. And then Neil Young has like his assistant or something start blasting the record. And I think one speaker is in the barn and the other is in like his house. And they're listening to the playback.
Yeah, the right and the left are like across the pond. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The right and the left are like the house and the barn. And they're out in the middle of the pond. And you just hear Neil Young go, more barn! More barn.
That is awesome. He's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good story.
Cool. I'm gonna try to buy tickets to Neil Young tomorrow morning.
More like Neil Old. Yeah. Now, speaking of rebrand, we're talking about Jukebox the Ghost, you know, relaunching, rebranding. I have been of this solid opinion for 10 years now that Neil Young is overdue for a brand relaunch as Neil Old. It would draw in so much new attention. People would be like, he is old, you know?
Spot on.
You know, anyways. Also, I thought of the, anytime there's a, we should make a theme song for this. Anytime somebody asks a question for Jesse about wood, it should be a Would You Rather segment. There should be a theme song for it.
That's good. All right, let's do that.
Whose turn is it to ask, to give a number of kilobytes?
I've got to get some more. I think it's me. So I'll do this one.
Hey guys, this question is for Tommy. I've been thinking of it some time. It's really interested. I was wondering, Tommy, if you were a sea creature, what sea creature would you be?
That's a great question.
Thank you so much. Bye.
That's a good question. That's a cool question.
Well,
Tommy?
Well, I was just in Hawaii. On vacation doing snorkeling, which is for those of you who don't know, snorkeling is like birding, but in the water. That's what I discovered.
Water birding.
There are birds like in the water. They got birds down there?
Yeah.
They got flying fish.
They got birds down there. And I saw all sorts of cool stuff. And I want to say,
I don't give a flying fish.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Stronger.
I want to be a green sea turtle because I swam with those and looked at them and they're awesome and beautiful.
You like them?
I like them. But in reality, I don't think I can attain that. So I'm going to say that I'm the Hama Hama Naka Naka Apua, which is the state fish of Hawaii. And there's quite a lot of them. I think that's how you say it. Hama Hama Naka Naka Apua.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
They're cool. You should look them up. They're awesome.
What do they look like? Can you describe it?
Here, let me.
Actually, Jesse, can you describe it?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Sorry, Tommy. Keep going.
Yeah, they're really cool. They've got like a long face, like a horse, and a kind of a neon V on the back, a neon green V, and a cool like striped band. They're just really cool. They're super. You can see why they're the state fish.
It's a mighty duck.
It's like a mighty duck, many have said.
It's a state fish.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right, Jesse. Give us a number. That's great.
All right.
Ooh, you got a Taco Bell bib?
I'm going to give this to your wife, actually. Or you can have it.
Oh, my God. I want that.
That's a great Taco Bell t-shirt.
Where did you get that?
My mother gave this to me for Jesus.
Again, it's a podcast, so.
Oh, this is a Taco Bell t-shirt.
He's been holding up a t-shirt, and I know we all went quiet. It's a great t-shirt. It has Taco Bell on it and some nice, like, 90s graphics.
Right? My turn to pick a number?
Yeah.
All right. 73.
Didn't we just do that?
I don't know, did we?
We did very close, but whatever's closest to 73.
It's fine. That's fine. Here we go.
Hi. I've been a fan of your music since high school, and the album I started on was the Jukebox the Ghost self-titled album. I have been looking for a vinyl record of that album ever since, and I have been unable to find it. Do you know if there are any plans to reprint or... Do you have a secret stash of these hiding in a warehouse collecting value? Let me know, because I would love to get my hands on one. Thank you. Bye.
Tale as old as time.
This is a sad question with an even sadder answer, which is that we would love to print more. That was our one record we did with a major label, and major labels have very high standards for what they're willing to print for a vinyl run. They will not do anything below 5,000, I believe was the number, right? We determined.
Yeah, and they charge us up the wazoo for it. So
they charge you up the wazoo for it, and we're not even sure if we could sell that many vinyls. So we haven't done it. So I've seen, it's funny because in the Patreon Discord, which by the way, patreon.com/jukeboxtheghost, we have a Discord where people are asking questions. And one of the questions was about this. Someone was saying, like, are you honored that there's people paying $200 for a copy of self-titled Jukebox the Ghost on vinyl? And the answer is no, we wish we could get, we could sell it to them, but we can't.
Yeah. When do we get that back, actually?
I don't know. It's silly, isn't it?
I'm going to ask, when do we get that back? Ever? I'm writing Seth. When do we get that back ever? Can we ever print vinyl? Or are we on this train forever? XOXOX, Ben.
I mean, we have the audio. Let's just print it on vinyl and say it's by the Sunday Mail. And then if somebody asks, we're like, no, it's like different songs. They're different. They have the same titles.
I wonder if Interscope would ever even notice if we... Can we just like do like bootleg... Can we just bootleg it and print it and then not tell Interscope?
Yeah. If you're listening to this, please email this to Interscope Records.
Yeah.
Let them know.
Big fan. Okay. Let's do... Unless, Tommy, do you have a pick for a number?
54.
Ooh, interesting.
Do we want to do a bonus tonight or no? Just keep this one a big juicy boy.
Oh, yeah. We'll do one more and then we'll dip into bonus. That's a great idea.
And then we'll dip.
Then we're going to dip and then continue the rest. We'll do a bonus episode on the Patreon. Come join us. We're going to end on the best question of the day. 61 kilobytes. Here it is.
Hi there. This is Devin calling from Champaign, Illinois. My question for you all is this. Given that all three of you have multifaceted creative passions, like Tommy has his drawings, Jesse's like a new woodworker, and Ben is composing on some solo projects, what advice would you give to people with creative passions that are stuck working a 9-to-5 to get by? I'm just curious, how do I make more time to work on my creative talent? Thanks.
That's actually a really good question. It's interesting. I don't know what your guys' answer is. I'm sort of formulating it myself, but the crux of it being, how do I make more time? You don't really have more time or less time, but it's just about giving yourself space every day to actually do the thing, even if it's 15, 20 minutes. And I think consistency is a huge part, and building it as part of a routine and not just the thing that is the occasional like respite from everything else. I don't know if that's even the best advice.
I think that's good advice. It's funny because my answer is the polar opposite. But I actually think that is something that, you know, there are times where I'm spending long hours in the shop and I'm thinking I should be doing a lot more music. And I haven't materialized this so well, but I do want to, like, you know, devote 20 minutes to like playing piano, playing guitar, writing, whatever. I think that's good advice. I was going to say, if you're working full time, you know, you might just want to have realistic goals. You know, it's, you're not necessarily gonna, you're not gonna quit your 9-to-5 and be a full-time gigging musician right away, right? So, you know, your goal might be, you know, to maybe release, if you're a songwriter, like release 6 songs next year or something, or in 6 months. So, you know, you, when you, if it's Thanksgiving break, whatever breaks you have from that job, like say, you know what, I want to see if I can like write 2 songs during that break, you know, or honestly, like call in sick for 4 days. And
yeah, my friends who like have 9-to-5s who like are still making, you know, in most of, in our case, like making music, just like block set, like decide to do a project. And then that project just has to get done. When you have a deadline or something you're trying to finish, yeah, and you have to finish it, you will find the time and the hours.
Yeah.
I will say my answer is even different from you guys. I think we're almost uniquely unqualified to answer this question.
That too.
Because we kind of like, we came out of college and just were broke as a joke for years and years and years doing the road dog thing and touring out of a minivan and a station wagon and then eventually a van and sleeping on people's floors. And I don't know what that would be like to try and start that process once you have normal life and bills and sort of the expectations that you would have for being a normal human. We were just like dirtbags straight out of college, and so we were able to invest the time and energy before we had real bills. Like we all lived together. Our rent was like, we were each paying, yeah, like $375 a month or something. Which is not to say it's very possible. And I think that like the carving off little chunks of time makes a lot of sense to me. But I mean, just to say, I empathize with your struggle. And I feel like I don't have very good advice other than that. I've been watching Breaking Bad for the first time. I've never seen that show. And it seems like there's high rates of return for selling methamphetamines.
High risk, high reward.
But if you find the right market, you can do a lot of, you can work very little and make quite a bit of money if you're up for, yeah, the physical and legal risk.
That's true. And if that money starts pouring in and you've set up your enterprise correctly, you can then spend all the time painting watercolors that you want.
that's the end. I assume that's where the show ends, is him getting into watercolors.
That's the show.
But that's a great question.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's it. We're going to go and answer some more for the Patreon. That's it. So to recap, I'm a dad.
I'm a seahorse.
Jesse's a seahorse.
Horse.
And Tommy likes a fish I can't pronounce.
Hamahamanakanaka apua'a.
Precisely.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, bye.
Pretty soon I'm gonna be famous, a little more famous than you. Certain people will greet my name with a proud and mighty boo. And one glorious day my songs will be played at an airport Chili's too.